This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Dr. Larry Sabato, professor of political science at the University of Virginia. He's also the director of UVA's Center for Politics and the author most recently of The Year of Obama, How Barack Obama Won the White House, now available in paperback. We want to get Larry's thoughts on a number of key primaries around the country today, as well as the news coming in today that longtime Alaska Senator Ted Stevens was in fact killed in a plane crash in the southwestern portion of Alaska late Monday, early Tuesday. And Larry, always good to have you with us.
Thank you, Greg.
Let's begin with the primaries, with the lighter news. And it seems, at least for political junkies like us, one of the most compelling races is this Democratic primary for Senate in Colorado, where you have the appointed Senator Michael Bennett in a pretty tough primary with the state Speaker of the House, Andrew Romanoff, with the subplot of Obama, of course, supporting the incumbent Democrat in Bennett, and former President Clinton supporting Romanoff. Apparently, this race is getting pretty ugly, too. What can you tell us about who's got the momentum?
The momentum is definitely with Andrew Romanoff. We'll find out whether it's enough to carry him to victory. He was way behind at one point. But I think part of this has little to do with Obama. It's resentment that people have at an incumbent who is appointed. We have seen this all over the country for decades. People don't like it when governors pick their senators. You know, people have this very arrogant belief, I'm kidding, of course, that they should be the ones to pick their top elected officials. Now, that's the way the system works. I'm not saying anything corrupt was done. But the governor who appointed Bennett, Bill Ritter, who is ducking out after one term, he's not running for re-election, is very unpopular. And I think that is part of this. Romanoff was a very promising, and is a very promising, political figure. He had hoped to get the Senate appointment. So when Ritter passed him over, instead of accepting a job in the Obama administration, which clearly was on the table at one point, he decided to challenge Bennett, and he may very well get the nomination.
Well, there's certainly a contentious Republican primary there as well, with Jane Norton against Tea Party favorite Ken Buck. Regardless of who wins that, Do the Republicans stand a very good chance of picking up that seat, or is that going to be in the toss-up column pretty much all the way through?
It won't be toss-up all the way through. To be cautious, I would put it in the toss-up column simply because I think you have to wait and see what percentage of the vote each of these candidates gets, and also how deeply divided each of the parties actually is. Which candidates that lose will make up faster and better with the candidates who win? Those things matter to a certain degree. So we're going to go ahead and wait. Right now we'll say toss-up. This is a Republican year. It's a purple state. It would tend to push it toward the Republican side, except for one thing. The Republicans have self-destructed in the gubernatorial contest there. Their leading candidate has been involved in a plagiarism scandal, and the other candidate is clearly somebody who cannot possibly win in November. And the Republicans are stuck, and they've got an independent candidate, former Republican Congressman Tancredo, involved now, too. It's a mess. Now, they may sort the mess out before November, and if they get a substitute Republican candidate who's attractive and Tancredo drops out, then they might be able to win the governorship. Otherwise, Democrat John Hickenlooper will win the governorship there in November, and that complicates the Senate side of the equation.
Very interesting how that goes both ways, given that Republicans, as you mentioned, did look pretty good there, even for the governorship, given how unpopular Ritter was. But with 1-2 and maybe 3 strikes against them right now, it's going to take quite a bit of change for them to get back their momentum in the governor's race. Speaking of smackdowns, Larry, let's move to Connecticut and the Republican Senate primary there. Of course, Linda McMahon of World Wrestling Entertainment fame is apparently the Republican frontrunner, with former Congressman Rob Simmons on the ballot, as well as Peter Schiff, a Wall Street banker. What do you make of McMahon's ability to apparently come out on top in this primary, if the polls are accurate? And can she or any of the three do any real damage against Dick Blumenthal?
All across the country, you have self-funders running and winning this year in both parties. And Linda McMahon is a good example of this. She's never run for public office. She's never been in any public office. But she has a giant bank account. As we like to joke with self-funders, a fundraising event for a wealthy candidate is a luncheon with the accountant. It's a very easy way to raise money. So she's swamped Simmons. I think she'll win the primary easily. She's got a tough row to hoe in the general. Connecticut is leaning more and more Democratic, even in Republican years. I think Richard Blumenthal, the Attorney General, despite the scandal in which he claimed he had fought in Vietnam, when, as we know now, he never fought in Vietnam, he wasn't in Vietnam, he's likely to win that Senate seat in November.
And in terms of Minnesota, Larry, we've seen Tim Pawlenty, of course, a two-term Republican there, not running, most likely a Republican presidential candidate in a couple of years. It seemed as though that Tom Emmer, the Republican nominee, likely nominee, was in good shape there, but now the Democrats have kind of gained the momentum. What's happening there?
Well, you know, again, I tend to think states return to stasis. That is, they return to their natural political nature given the right set of circumstances. And the right set of circumstances include an open race without an incumbent, because incumbency distorts the norm in most states. Minnesota, while it has elected a fair number of Republicans, they've been moderate Republicans. It rarely elects a conservative. Governor Tim Pawlenty has won two terms, but he's won it in the mid-40s. He's never gotten 50% of the vote. The Jesse Ventura party is always on the ballot, and that may save Republican Tom Emmer, but it's going to be tough. The Democrat probably is favored after 8 years of a Republican governor in a Democratic-leaning state.
A couple minutes left in our conversation with Larry Sabato of the University of Virginia. And Larry, obviously a lot of heavy hearts around Washington and certainly in Alaska with the news that Senator Ted Stevens was in fact killed in that plane crash. Longest serving Republican senator ever. Certainly a mixed legacy as you look over those 40 years in the U.S. Senate. In the end, what will likely stand out most in his time in Washington?
That he was Mr. Alaska. He literally brought hundreds of billions of dollars to Alaska. Of course, that's the taxpayers' money, and some would say it was pork and that the priorities were distorted to get it to Alaska. But, of course, you ask Alaskans, they tend to disagree. They will always remember Ted Stevens, much as West Virginians will remember Robert Byrd. And incidentally, it is a fluke of history that the longest-serving Republican senator, Ted Stevens, and the longest-serving Democratic senator, Robert Byrd, both died within a couple of months of one another. They were good friends, by the way, in the Senate, and they, even though they were in separate parties, they were men of the Senate in the old sense of the word, and we don't have many of those men and women anymore in the Senate. You can say that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it clearly has changed institutionally. This is no longer the Senate that Ted Stevens served in.
Well, certainly, as you mentioned, a long and distinguished career with many different opinions on what happened in those 40 years. We certainly send our condolences to his family and friends. And Larry,
absolutely.
As Larry, as always, a great pleasure to have you with us. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Greg. Nice to chat with you.
Larry Sabato teaches political science at the University of Virginia, director of UVA Center for Politics, author most recently of The Year of Obama, now available in paperback. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.